Good afternoon and welcome to the show, Je Savais Pas. I'm your host, Esther Tyree, and we are in the second full week of January.
Dun, 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 dun.
And in the studio today with me is Mary Gomez with Mary Sweet Treats. And thank you, Mary, for joining me today. I wanted somebody to come in that was doing baking since it's kind of a nice time of the year to be in your kitchen baking and maybe inspire somebody who's kind of thought that at the beginning of the year, you know, I really would like to get back to baking, or I'd like to maybe explore baking, especially since you have the result of having what you've baked at your house to enjoy.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I do love baking, especially this time of year. It is very cold outside, and it's especially for my kids. It is their favorite time of year to get in the kitchen and cook.
Mm-hmm. Never mind that, you know, you can enjoy the smells of what you're baking for quite a while after you're done.
My house smells like sugar cookies 24/7, so that is a very good plus.
So let's just start with, at what point did you start baking? Did somebody in your family bring you into the kitchen when they were baking and get you started? Or did you, like, one day just say, you know what, I've kind of always enjoyed eating cookies. Let me make them and bake them and maybe enjoy them the more.
I fully blame YouTube. My first maternity leave, I spent 6 weeks on YouTube watching videos and trying to learn how to make French macarons, which I don't know if you've ever made them. In Louisiana, not that easy. The humidity is terrible. The ovens don't hold temperature, especially when it goes from hot and cold and hot and cold. So I made those for a while. We're in a new house now, so now they come out, you know, the way they should come out. Mm-hmm. But at the time, we were in an apartment, and it was a constant battle.
So just somebody who maybe has heard of that but doesn't really know what a macaron is, what is it?
It's made with almond flour, so they are gluten-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
But it's basically you're making a meringue, which is when you mix the egg whites and they form, you know, the stiff white peaks.
Right.
And then you're adding in almond flour, powdered sugar. You can flavor them. You can color them different ways. But then the whole thing is you have to mix that together and not beat all of the air out. So then you're piping it into the little circles, and then you're putting it you have to let them rest until they're not sticky anymore, which in Louisiana can be anywhere. Right. That's the problem. So you're spending anywhere from 15 minutes to possibly 4 hours waiting for it to get where you would like it to get.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot with, you know, different genres, that Louisiana, it's great to explore different art forms, but all of them have that, you know, challenge with the humidity.
Right. So I had kept doing that and kept doing that, and I finally, you know, I kind of got it, and I learned to tweak a little bit with the humidity, but it was very frustrating because every time I wanted to bring something either to a party or, like, if the kids had something at school and you could bring treats, it was never consistent. I never knew how much time I was going to be spending in the kitchen that day trying to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my son had an Easter party coming up, and I had, you know, Instagram. If you ever watch, they do the flood videos where they just coat in a whole sugar cookie in the icing, and it's nice and slow and just very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? I think I am done with these macaroons, and I am going to try something that looks a little more controllable.
Right.
So I made some Easter egg sugar cookies, and I was in love. I started doing it basically every day, every free day that I had off of work.
Mm-hmm.
After the kids go to bed at night, I was just trying different recipes, different styles of cookies, and that just kind of, it took off.
Fun. So with your, the cookie dough, you make that yourself?
I do. I do everything from scratch.
So is it a sugar cookie recipe or what?
It's,
it vary depending upon what kind of cookie you're making?
It varies depending on what you're making. If you, like, I do the decorated royal icing sugar cookies.
Mm-hmm.
So the recipes that you use for those are called cutout cookies. Basically, that means that once you have made and rolled out and cut the dough into different shapes, that if you put it in your oven, it's not going to expand.
Okay.
It's going to stay the exact same shape that you put it in the oven. The cutout cookies would be the ones that they're like Snickerdoodles or the M&M cookies.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a cutout cookie because you put it in a ball, you put it in the oven, and then, you know, it expands into a big circle. Right.
Because that's usually when you think of cookies, you have that cookie dough scooper and you put it in little balls and then it flattens out when it's baking.
Yes.
And that was one of my questions. So I see all these, you know, I have a couple of friends that do cookie baking and they come out in shapes. So I'm just, and well, and then going back to just the gingerbread men that you probably saw a bunch of at Christmas time. What, how do you do that? And then they not like turn into gingerbread blob.
Yes. The difference between a cutout cookie and a sugar cookie is about twice the flour.
Okay. I was going to say, was there a difference?
So
in
one
ratio?
Batch of cookie dough for me, again, it's all the humidity. Most recipes that you see or find on the internet are going to show you about roughly 5 cups of flour for one batch of sugar cookie rollout dough.
Mm-hmm.
I use anywhere between 6 and 6.5. If you use the 5, it's sticky. It doesn't hold shape. So it's, again, it's just lots and lots and lots of tweaking to try and get something that's going to be consistent with our humidity.
Right. So I just lost the question I was going to ask. But you said tweaking, so you obviously had to spend some time experimenting with that.
Yes. The eggs, like I said, so the very first batch I did was for my son's Easter party. It was eggs.
Mm-hmm.
They did not hold their shape. But I had seen, you know, the videos on Instagram and I had kept looking it up on YouTube and none of them were spreading. But then, you know, you get into the forums and you can ask more experienced cookie bakers. You know, they're very responsive on Instagram. You can usually, you know, hey, how did you get, you did this a little bit different or this a little bit different. And they're always very helpful. But they were just, you know, your humidity, just keep adding flour until the dough that you're, once you're mixing it, it's not sticky to the touch. As soon as it loses that stickiness, your spreading is gone.
Okay. And then what does that do to baking time?
Some people put them in the refrigerator to help them hold the shape. But like I said, I add the extra flour.
Mm-hmm.
Baking time, again, it depends on how hot your house is. But normally a pan will be, it's 12 minutes in the summer when it's already, you know, nice and warm and toasty in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
The winter, the sheets have taken probably about 16 minutes. So I can probably do 16 cookies in about 16 minutes.
Okay. So then when you talk about cookie dough, you're making your own cookie dough, but you're having to supplement what the normal dough, amount of flour would be to create the opportunity to make a cookie that holds the shape of the cutout.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
I've also tweaked a lot. Most people use, I'm sure you've had at some point in your life, a decorated sugar cookie, right, with the
mm-hmm.
royal icing.
Mm-hmm.
When you eat it, you always have that little bit of an almond aftertaste in your mouth. Most people use the brown, it's the Madagascar vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's like thick kind of syrupy, and it leaves that aftertaste. So to fix that, most bakers add almond flavor. It also makes your sugar cookies a little browner.
Okay.
So they're not that like crisp white,
right,
clean color that you like, right?
Mm-hmm.
I skip all of that. I usually order, my husband's Hispanic. So his family bakes, it's the white Mexican vanilla. It's clear.
Okay.
So I usually order that in, and then the cookies, you know, they stay that nice, clean, white color. I don't have to add the extra almond flavor, so all you get is just the nice vanilla flavor. But it's little tweaks like that. But like, that came because we were in Guatemala one summer, and they were, you know, baking a flan, and they had this gorgeous giant container of clear vanilla, and I have used that ever since, and I am hooked on it.
Okay. So then once the cookies are done and they come out, obviously there has to be a cooling time, and then with the icing, go, like, do you, I know my other friend, she does different characters and different shapes and different things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a, like, just a basic, like, icing where you just cover it, or do you try to give it maybe a character this time, or a face, or a shape? Or, for instance, with the Easter eggs, did you use the icing to decorate it like you would a real Easter egg? Or, like, go from there. What's the process when you're okay. deciding how to ice, do the icing or the yeah, you'd say frosting a cake and your ice a cookie.
Okay, well, like for the farmer's market, right? So it's not a specific order. So it's that's kind of my time to play around with something that I want to work on or something that I've seen, you know, that's suddenly become like a trend or things that I just haven't had time to practice or like unicorns. Okay. I'm obsessed with unicorn cookies, right? So normally, so the cookies are baking. While the cookies are baking, I start making the royal icing. Royal icing, depending on how much you're making, it'll take you maybe 10 or 15 minutes. Doesn't take a long time. So usually in the period while you're mixing that, your first trays have started to cool. So depending on what I'm making that week is depending on, you know, the different colors of icing, the different consistencies. So like a unicorn, for instance, if you're just doing the unicorn head, you would outline, so you would outline his head in one consistency. You're kind of like building a dam, right?
Okay.
So it's stiffer. You haven't added very much water. It's a lot of powdered sugar. That way you pipe that line around it and it's not going anywhere. Then you would add a little bit of water to a different container of icing. It makes it, you know, more fluid. And you use that to just kind of fill in. So it fills in the whole thing, but it's held in by that original.
Okay. So the stiffer one does an outline.
Right.
If you want to do a smile or an outline or a t-shirt shape or the markings of the horn. Okay. And then the softer one actually does the coating.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know. I wouldn't.
Well, again, my Easter eggs.
That's why all the shows just have a paw.
So the Easter eggs were very misshapen. They didn't come out, you know, in the nice Easter egg shape that I wanted. And then I didn't know about the different consistencies of royal icing at the time. So I just start, you know, I make some green icing and I just started going at this Easter egg and it's just coming like it's just running off the sides. It's like a waterfall, basically. So I started adding some more powdered sugar. So at that point, I've added enough that I go to the next cookie. And I'm piping, but it's like, it's making ribbons. It's not all blending together. Like, all the icing isn't, you know, forming a nice little puddle together. It's just ribbons of icing. So it was just, you know, okay, well, make a dam and then fill it.
It's interesting how, you know, in the process of doing something, we learn about things as well. So why is it called royal icing?
I have no idea. I don't know. There are several different ways to do it. You can either do fresh egg whites. And then people, you know, they add the cream of tartar to help it maintain the stiffness. Or you can buy dry. It's called meringue powder. It's dried egg whites. And you can just buy it in bulk. But I have absolutely no idea why it's called royal icing. I'm going to look that up later.
So you have the egg whites, the powdered sugar, and then the coloring.
It is, so it's...
What's the liquid?
Water.
Okay.
It's just water and vanilla, or whatever you would like to flavor it with.
Whatever flavor? Okay.
And they do have, it started out as the regular plain vanilla flavored cookies, and then you do vanilla royal icing, but it started, there's a lot of cookiers now that are doing... they have chocolate cutout cookies. Cinnamon pecan has become really big. They've started figuring out how to do, like, chocolate chip. But, again, it's wanting to make these flavors but trying to mess and tinker a little bit with everything else to where when you're baking it, it's not just turning into a big puddle of mush and it's still keeping its consistency, but it's, you know, the flavor's there.
Yeah, that was one of my next questions was – when she started with the sugar cookies, have you branched off into different types of cookies like chocolate chip or chocolate brownie or almond flavored cookie or, you know, different, I guess, base flavors of cookies and then add your decorating on top? Or have you just basically stuck with the sugar
only
cookie?
The only ones that I've done for the cutout so far, I've done the vanilla. I've done chocolate, which... I'm still messing with that one a little bit because it's either a little bit too moist and then the icing just doesn't set as well on top, or it holds nicely and then you bite in and you get this kind of chalky. Right. I don't want to say, don't want to serve chalky cookies to people. So I'm still tinkering with that one a little bit. But I've done, last year I did king cake flavored. For I had king cake cookies and they were king cake flavored, which is kind of like a cinnamony, creamy flavor. I've done orange with champagne flavored icing. So like little mimosa cookies. Who doesn't love mimosas?
Right. It's Louisiana.
Red velvet. I've been trying to do strawberry icing because I wanted for Valentine's, I thought it'd be really cool to do, once I figured out the chocolate cutout cookie recipe, to do strawberry icing on top of them. I thought that would be really cool for Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. Instead of having that chocolate dipped strawberry, have a strawberry flavored, you know, dipped
right, but
chocolate
it
cookie.
It looks like a chocolate dipped strawberry.
Right.
So I thought that would be really cool to get the flavors to kind of match. Because I've seen, I keep seeing on Instagram these really cool, or they did for this, a lot of people did for summer last year for all the summer birthday parties. They did like strawberry lemonade stand themed birthday parties. So the cookies were lemonade and strawberry flavored cookies. So that just kind of, I was like, I wanted to tweak everything. So I was trying a ton of different ones. But yeah, my plan is to get the strawberry chocolate done in time for Valentine's Day.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Je Savais Pas. And my guest today is Mary Gomez of Mary Sweet Treats, talking about her journey and things that she's discovered baking cookies and decorating them. So going back to the strawberry, you cut it in the shape of a strawberry? I'm thinking it's not going to work if you have an actual 3D strawberry. That's not a cookie.
Well, the more time I've spent in this, okay, so I'm going to branch off for a second, sorry.
That's fine.
So the hardest part when you are a cookier, it's a term, a cookier, right? So the hardest part is finding cookie cutters. Like if you, especially if people are giving you short notice for like a birthday party that's coming up or, like my husband and I, you know, we try to be fairly organized, but, sometimes the kids' party papers, you know, they'll end up in one of our cars and then we don't tell the other one that there's a party coming up or like, if we want to do, you know, birthday parties or like gifts for our friends, that kind of thing is, finding cookie cutters that are the right shape. A lot of cookiers will just, you get a razor blade, one of those little bitty craft razor blades, and you hand cut the cookie dough. But that is unbelievably time consuming.
I was going to say, yeah, that would require some dedication, determination.
Right.
And
and then when it comes out, you actually have to use a cheese grater, one of those little cheese graters, to kind of sand the edges down because it's rough from where you cut it with the razor blade. Like it has those.
Interesting. And again, that's why I call the show Je Savais Pas.
Right. So there's a lot that goes into that, right? Well, then came the creation of 3D printers. So there are several of us that actually, we own our own 3D printers. So for that, for instance, last year I wanted to do a, I used the actual strawberry baskets, like the green ones that you get when you buy a flat of strawberries. And I wanted to fill that with strawberry shaped cookies. So I printed, it's probably 5 inches. It's a shape of a strawberry.
Okay.
So it's got the leaves and everything. It's the whole giant strawberry. So cut that out, bake it. Then I did the brown icing at the bottom with the, you know, the kind of wet looking edge. So it looks like it's dipped in chocolate. So the top part is just the red strawberry with the little yellow berries and then pipe the leaves on the top. So it looks like, you know.
Interesting. Yeah, that was probably not a question I had thought about, but one that you wouldn't consider, you know, in figuring out, okay, they've asked for this shape and I don't know where to find a cookie cutter that does that.
Yes. And it is very hard to find websites that can get it to you in 2 to 3 days, especially if it's not a shape that they carry in stock, you know, a lot.
Well, they say necessity is the mother of invention, so, you know.
Yes, it is.
You find a need and there's nobody to supply it, well, let's figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So with the strawberry, when you cut it with the leaf, do you find that you have to be careful that, you know, the stem when it's cooling or when you're working with the decorating or the icing. Let me just combine two words. that you have to be careful about it not falling off, or do you make it in a way that it's pretty sturdy?
With the strawberry, I didn't have that issue because it was a 5-inch strawberry.
Okay.
But Christmas, for instance, I did a whole bunch of Max from The Grinch. Mm-hmm. So it's this cute little dog, and he has the horn tied to his head, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a branch that makes it look like antlers.
Yes.
They're very tiny antlers. So that you have to be really, really careful. So you cut it out. I have – it's called a scribe. On one end, it's basically like a thicker needle mm-hmm. that you use to kind of fill in any little holes with icings, that kind of thing. The other side is just – it's like the tip of a pin with like the cap on it.
Okay.
So you put the cookie cutter, you cut the cookie, but the cutter is still there. Then you use the tip of the scribe, the thicker end, not the needle part.
Right.
You kind of have to work the dough out of the cookie cutter, or right. you pull the cookie cutter up and his whole horn just kind of breaks off. Right. Then you have to very gently finagle it into the oven. Once they dry, like once they come out of the oven and once they're cooled, they're very sturdy. I make them, you know, they're thicker. So snapping off immediately once they're cooked and once they're cooled isn't really a thing. But the cutting it and the getting it into the oven is definitely very delicate.
I imagine. So you don't cut it on the cookie tray?
No. I roll out. So there's two pieces of parchment. You roll it out between the two pieces of parchment. Mm-hmm. You cut them and then you transfer that onto a new piece of parchment. Because it kind of sticks. That way you don't have the possibility of it sticking and it cooks right. all the way through better.
Okay. The things that you learn when you're, you know, exploring. Fun. So then, okay, I just lost my train of thought. But share some social media information, so somebody is listening and is not in town and has the opportunity to go, you know, look at what you're describing, and then we'll talk about the farmers market where people who actually live in town have an opportunity to go and see you.
Okay. Well, I'm on Instagram. It's Mary's Sweet Treats 87, and it's the same thing on Facebook. So it's facebook.com/Mary's Sweet Treats 87. I'm set up on both of those. I am working on a website right now. I have the domain name is marysweettreats.com.
Mm-hmm.
I have that about halfway set up, so it should be a couple more weeks and I should be there.
Okay. And then right now, Saturdays, you're at the...
Every Saturday, I do the farmer's market on Johnson Street at the horse farm.
Okay.
It's from 8 a.m. to noon every Saturday. And then next Friday, assuming the weather, you know, doesn't cancel the market, I'm going to start doing the Worst Beer Garden downtown. It's okay. going to be every night from 6 to 11. And that's going to be...
every Friday night or every night?
Every Friday night.
Okay.
They do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sunday is kind of a produce day.
Right.
But yeah, so I'll be doing Friday nights. And that's going to be the decorated sugar cookies, regular flavored cookies... couple other things I'm working on.
Okay. So somebody wanted to order, they'd be able to contact you after they looked at sort of some of the different things that you've made, or could they go on a Saturday at the farmer's market and say, I'd like to
yeah.
order this, and you sell them by the dozen or the...
I sell individually there okay. just because, you know, the kids, they're walking around, they like snacks.
Right.
I just saw her Saturday. She'd been sick for a couple weeks. I have the same little girl that comes, and she's so cute. She has this, her mom dresses her in these adorable little outfits every single Saturday, and every Saturday she runs up and gets a unicorn, and she's absolutely adorable.
Oh,
but,
fun.
So that's the fun part for me is that, you know, the kids run up and they get to pick out what they want to snack on while they're shopping, and it kind of mm-hmm. keeps them occupied. But, so there I sell individually, and then, so for, like, birthday parties, retirement parties, engagement, weddings, that kind of thing, it goes by the dozen.
Okay. But all that information...
All of that's on there, right. Or, okay. I, you know, at the farmer's market, too, I've done... they have a birthday coming up. They go ahead and place their order, whatever, while they're there, because I usually bring my planner and everything with me.
Gotcha. So if somebody's listening thinking, yeah, I kind of, what she's saying appeals to me, where would you encourage them to start?
Man, YouTube. There is so much information on YouTube. Instagram. If you can, you can type in sugar cookies for the tag, and the information that you can find just on Instagram is insane these days.
Mm-hmm.
They have some of the more, I guess you'd call them famous cookiers. They do tutorials.
Okay.
They do what's called Flood Friday, where it's videos of them doing the dam around the cookie edges and then filling in the flood,
mm-hmm.
Just to kind of show the different consistencies, the different colors.
So those aren't specific characters or topics or themes. Those are just basically...
Right, it's just the basics. It's how to start from scratch.
Right,
just right.
A plain covered cookie.
Right. Well, you start... most of them start that way.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them you would do the initial flood first, which is just like your canvas. Like you're giving yourself something to work on.
Right.
So everything would be completely iced. And you would give that a day or two to completely set. And
mm-hmm.
then you would start, you know, either drawing your details or if you're doing flower work, writing out names, like characters if you're doing faces. You would just start adding, you know, the details. And then depending on how detailed the cookies you're making, that's, you know, how many days in advance you would start.
Gotcha. So have you made cookies where you write a name or a date or an event or congratulations or a word?
Oh, yeah.
So what was, like, some of the challenges of, because I know.
Oh, my gosh, like, my handwriting. I have the worst handwriting of pretty much anyone that I've met. It's terrible. It's so bad. And people like to have their names, and they like to have initials, and they like to have dates on cookies. Let me tell you that projectors will save your lives. You can just set up. They sell. It's a Pico projector. You can just put it in your pocket.
Huh.
You can hook it up to your phone. You can watch a movie. But the best thing that you can do is take a thumb drive, stick it in your computer, upload whatever image that you would like to or the name, like you find the font that you want,
uh-huh.
or sometimes with brides, like it's off of an invitation, right?
Okay.
So you just take, crop the picture, put it on the thumb drive, and then you put the thumb drive into this projector, and you project onto the cookie.
Wow. And so then you just have the narrow tip at the edge of the icing
thing. Right, and then you have your icing bag, and you it's amazing. It has saved my life.
Wow. That's really cool. See, another reason, like I said again, I didn't know that. Thank you for coming in today, Mary, and sharing such wonderful information. You've been listening to Je Savais Pas, a production of KRVS, brought to you as a public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, which joins you in support of this station. This is KRVS 88.7 FM Lafayette, Lake Charles, online at KRVS.org. Thank you for tuning in and listening. And, get out to the horse farm and meet Mary in person. So thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Soyez à l'écoute tous les dimanches matins avec moi, Zach Fusillier. À travers vos tasses de café, on va cuire un peu de dîner. On va passer le matin avec la bonne musique en français de 9h le matin jusqu'à midi pour un beaucoup bon temps d'être ici sur KRVS 88.7 FM ou online sur KRVS.org.
Hello, this is John Green, host of Night Train Jazz, inviting you to tune in every Tuesday from 8 to 10 for 2 hours of the very latest recorded jazz, as well as a sprinkling of oldies but goodies. That's Night Train, Tuesdays from 8 to 10 here on KRVS 88.7 FM in Lafayette and Lake Charles.